That was his land. His children were manning it. When Caleb, by the age of 85, went there, he said to Joshua, in Joshua chapter 14, he said, as my strength was 45 years ago, so is my strength today. David, at the age of 70, they needed a young Okweke to lie beside him to keep warm. Why? They knew that was what ended his energy. All his strength had gone into those girls. So to one of them, come and lie down here so that the Bobo can keep warm. At the age of 85, Caleb will fan you until you are warm. That is, he will use the energy in his body will warm the room. Do I need the law of Moses that says that shall not commit adultery? Moses can give that to those who want to commit adultery. Whether they give the law or not. Just like, have you ever seen the law in the Bible that shall not smoke? It's not in the scriptures. Nobody should deceive it as there. It's not there. We Christians created it into a sin. No, it's not there in the Bible. Have you ever seen it? That shall not smoke. A man that overspeeds, he's committing worse offense than the man who smokes. I hope you know that. Why are you looking at me? Overspeeding kills more people than cigarette smoking. He said, no, the Bible says that shall not destroy the temple of God. If you're overspeeding, what are you destroying? The temple of Satan. When you overspeed, kill yourself, kill your neighbor, kill the people inside the car. You've destroyed the temple of God, another temple of God, and maybe even temple of Satan. All of them, you know, you never can tell who's inside the car. Are you getting my point? So why don't I smoke? That's what I'm getting to. I don't need God to tell me not to smoke. Common sense tells me don't smoke. I'm a pathologist. If you give me 10 minutes, I'll give you 100 diseases directly linked to cigarette smoking. Some of them have names that scare you. When I'm teaching one of those subjects, vascular pathology to medical students, I have some pictures that are guaranteed to make sure you don't smoke. Cigarette smoking, there's a particular disease that it does in blood vessels. I toss about 4 of those things on the wall. You see people's hands and feet chopping up because they smoke. I show you lungs that have been wrecked because somebody smoked. If I show you that to you as a child, you will never smoke all your life. See, what about adults? They are hooked already. That's the problem. What am I going to say? Without God saying that shall not smoke, I won't smoke. If I have the temptation to smoke, I'll go and kneel down and fight the temptation. I don't know what I get my point. I won't go and sit down and be arguing with somebody. Hey, where is it written that you shouldn't smoke? Am I mad? I'll be arguing with you. Where is it written that I should not smoke? Yeah, prove to me in the scripture that you don't smoke. I don't need the scripture to tell you. I need a pathology textbook. Why am I disturbing the Bible with serious matters? With small matters. I don't need the Bible to tell me not to smoke. Medical textbooks are enough to do that one. The Bible tells you what medical textbook can't tell you. So you see, some of these arguments, they are for people who want to commit sin and don't bother with them. I mean, man, come and tell me, come and prove to me from the Bible that a man can't marry 2 wives. I won't even talk to you. That you desire another one shows me and you are not the same frequency. You are getting what I'm saying? That your desire is that way. Me and you are not the same frequency. So telling me, where is it written in the Bible that I can't use a knife, a sharp knife, to scratch my eye? No, where is it written in your Bible? That shall not use a sharp knife to scratch thine eye. It is displayed to the Lord thy God. Such did people do before you, and the Lord destroyed them. Have you ever read in the Bible? No, some things I don't even have to argue with you about. If it is good, where's the written? That the Bible never said that. He said that it must be a husband of one wife. That's for deacons and for elders. And you are young. You are not yet a deacon and elder. You don't want to go anywhere in your life. You want to disqualify yourself at this level from deaconship and eldership. If a young man argues with you like that, don't answer him. So you are not talking. Say the Bible says, don't reply a fool. Tell him like that. I mean, why are you discussing with a fool? Tell the man, there's a mosque near my house. They are doing baptism tomorrow. Go and join them. How can a Christian be opening scripture, asking you to prove from the Bible whether a man can't marry 2 wives? Go and ask David what he saw when he married the second one. Go and ask Solomon.
Solomon married all the wives. At the end of the day, he said, it's better to stay with the wife of thy youth. One. That was the verdict of Solomon. I will now discuss with the modern day Christian. I've heard Christians argue. I said, me answer you. I'm not going to answer you. If you say why, I said, go and read the book of Proverbs. See what the Bible says I should do to fools. Then you know why I'm not answering you. For those who want to have understanding, so you can just have understanding, go and download my message, The Doctrine of Monogamy. It's not about commandment. It's about understanding the concept, the mind of God. So you see, what did God do? He had his mind. He has his spirit. He has his character. He has his attitude. He now began, based on those attitudes, to write down things for Israel. He said, because their hearts were so hard, they were not nice people. They were natural, wicked men. Moses now said to them, you can divorce your wives. Just make sure you give a certificate when she's going. They now came to Jesus. How come Moses agreed? He said, it was because you were wicked. He said, because of the hardness of your heart. And go and check it. It was God that told Moses. What does that tell you? Many of the commandments of Moses were commandments that God was not pleased with, was the best he could give to wicked men. Many of the laws of Moses, I don't need them. Not as if I don't have to keep them. I don't need them. God has poured the spirit inside me. I'll read some laws. I say, you mean you have to command people to do this? So we Christians, are we under the law of Moses? No! We have a superior law. Moses had 613 commandments. They look plenty. Believe me, under Christ, they don't have a number. Listen, are you getting what I'm saying? You know, there's something about Christianity. Something is a sin for one person, it's not a sin for another person. Why? As each person has a revelation of God. You know, let me give you a very practical example. I taught us here before, when we were talking about, was it high, no, not high calling, habitation of God. By the time I finished teaching habitation of God, I even purified my truth telling. Normally I don't tell lies. God helped me with that thing. But when I finished habitation of God, we even purified it further. What am I going to explain? I'm talking about commandments now. Jesus doesn't have to tell me thou shalt not lie. Moses said thou shalt not bear false witness. I can't imagine me standing and bearing false witness. So who took the book? It was Chris. It was not Emma. When I saw Emma taking it, Emma said he will pay me if I say it's Chris. My understanding of God means that once I finish saying that, I know I'm dead. When I say dead, I mean literal dead. That somebody will pay me to give false witness against another person. You can't even put a gun to my head to do it. Why? I understand the consequences. When we discuss the habitation of God, I realize something. That some of the times that Christians tell what they call truth, they make statements that they claim are true, but God is laughing. He said, the spirit is false. Your boss says to you, where are you? I'm on the way. You know you are not supposed to have left the office. He kept you in charge of something. A man who is in Onitsha driving to Enugu, by the time he gets to, Nkpo, he's on the way. The one in Oka is on the way, 150 kilometers. The one in 9th mile, 40 more kilometers, is on the way. And the one down at the roundabout there is on the way. And you know all of this. But you can't tell your boss, sir, I am 2 hours away from where you placed me. So you say, I am on the way. Say, it's not a lie. I was on the way. You deceived him. And God is not arguing with you. Are you factually correct? You think he's a human judge? I, the Lord, I test the heart. He has tested your heart. Your heart was the heart of what? Deception. I don't need anybody to come and tell me, that shall not be able to go. Listen. And I know once I'm like that, I have a heart where God can't dwell. A deceptive heart, God cannot dwell there. That is why tomorrow, you say, let us declare the word of faith. Say, in the name of Jesus, we command this thing to happen. God said, command the word to happen. This mouth does not know how to tell the truth. Except the mouth is pure, it cannot declare the word of God and it will be effective. You see, why Jesus doesn't have to give us this commandment, this commandment, this commandment? He doesn't need all those things. He said, if I put my spirit inside you, there are some things that don't just gel with your system. They just don't gel with your system. I'm under the law of Moses. The laws of Moses are too inferior. They are too inferior to where God has placed me in Christ Jesus. That I will need somebody to tell me that shall not bear false witness. Okay, if you don't say it, what will I do? I will bear it. God only says that shall not bear false witness to men who want to bear false witness. We have a law, the law of Christ, and it is superior to the law of Moses. The law of Moses is a severely downgraded version, expressed version of God's character. That's what they call the laws of Moses. And that's why Jesus will come and say, you have heard, thou shalt not murder. But I say to you, you can't even hate your brother in your heart. You have heard, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say to you, if you are truly a disciple of mine, the desire for another man's wife cannot even come into your heart. It's not whether you commit. You have heard, down to it, thou shalt love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say to you, you don't have to go and shout somersault and die, all my enemies. That's not what Jesus said. So if you want to be children of your Father who is in heaven, then you will love your enemies and do good to them that hate you and despitefully use you. Can you see? That's why I don't need the law of Moses. The person who I follow is superior to Moses. And the difference between him and Moses is this. Moses gives laws and does not empower you to keep them. Jesus says, don't worry. I will pour my spirit inside you. Then start following the dictates of that spirit. Keeping my laws will be natural to you. When the problems of life want to challenge you so that you will disobey me, no problem. Come to the throne of grace and obtain mercy and find grace to help at such times. That's what Jesus says. That's how we live in the kingdom. We live by a righteousness that surpasses that of the Pharisees. Are you getting my point? We don't look for laws to grant us what we want to do really in terms of iniquity. No, we desire purity in our heart. We desire to do things that excel. Are you getting my point? Yes, that's what we desire. For that reason, we surpass the law of Moses all the time. When they give us the laws of Moses, don't do this. Like I was talking about children and TV in the house. The adults, my wife and I, we don't need it. We are too responsible for life to be watching TV all the time. It's children that don't understand the difference. I hope you've gotten my point. So that's it. That's the principle of the kingdom. And when we're teaching then, the one we finished last week, we explained in details that our lives must reflect the fact that we are from a different kingdom. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget it. What I'm beginning to preach today is that kingdom must spread. That kingdom must what? Must spread. God never desired that only you and I. In fact, you know what's happening on this earth? What we are doing on this earth is to recruit people for the kingdom of God. Once God has recruited you, he has converted you, it now becomes your own duty to recruit the next man. That is what I'm beginning to teach today. It is our duty to spread the kingdom of God on this earth. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. He said, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Now, that's what I'm talking about. The fact that this earth must be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. Let's read this again. I always like to start from here. The book of Revelation chapter 17. I want to explain something as a way of introduction. Something that I say once in a while. And that's to emphasize to everybody that the only instrument of God for whatever he wants to do on the earth, apart from utter destruction, if it is beyond utter destruction, the only instrument that God has is you and I. If you and I don't cooperate with the Lord, the only thing he can do, independent of people, is wipe us all out. He does not need anybody to wipe out the whole earth. If Noah was not there, Noah would have died. If Noah was not righteous, Noah would have died. If God had to wipe everybody out, he'd wipe everybody out and then create another generation of people. And let's not ever think that God is tired of creating. I was listening to a message yesterday, and the man of God said something. He said, when Jesus rose again from the dead, he said, there was a new creation. That was my first time of understanding that concept. That what the Bible is saying is that a whole new creation began. It was a beginning of a new creation. Now, I'm not discussing that now. What I'm going to emphasize is that let's not think that God will have had a problem with joining Noah and his family in the wipeout. Now, what am I trying to say? That is the only thing God does without your cooperation and my cooperation. Every other thing on the earth, including when he has to discipline this earth so as to preserve it, he requires your cooperation. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he tells his servants, the prophets. What is the reason? Because except the prophets prophesy, what God wants to do can never get done. Can't do anything unless he tells his servants, the prophets. Because it's through the prophesying of the servants that is when the work of God starts getting done. Bear that in mind. I say all the time, there's a story I like to tell. Brother Andrew went to one of those Eastern Bloc, those communist countries behind the Iron Curtain, and went to a village that was desolate. Most people had run away to freedom. And he saw an elderly couple there. He said, why did you not run when everybody else was running? And they said to him simply, who will stay behind to pray? Are you getting my point? That we stay behind because there's something to do. It was because of the prayers of such people that the Iron Curtain finally came down. If you think the Iron Curtain came down because of the pressure of the Americans, it's a lie. Is that some men say, no, we are not going anywhere. We will pray, we stay here, make sure that we have a right to stand before the God of the heavens and the God of the earth and declare some words because we're on this land. They did that. God scattered people like that here and there until the incense that was filling the throne of God was heavy as their prayers. And then the clouds were full. Then he poured forth rain upon the earth. And one day, communism collapsed. It was not a natural thing. Even though God promised that people had to be delivered, Israel would be delivered after 70 years, still, that deliverance could not happen until a man like Daniel began to pray. I say all the time, worse than brain drain, the days of Andrew don't check out. I don't know how many of you remember. When people began to leave Nigeria and all of that, we found a word for the first time, brain drain. What was brain drain? Only one state in Nigeria had over 100 professors in Saudi Arabia alone. One state. So we invented a new word, brain drain. How do you get people to stay behind? The country was bad. And like I keep on saying, when I started my residency program after my national service, my salary came to about $70 a month. It wasn't easy. But this is the point I'm making. I said when I began to teach the word of God, I said, worse than brain drain is a drain of the spiritual content of human beings. That spirit drain is worse than brain drain. You'll see it as we go on. I was listening to David Paulson teach. You know, he made a statement that I made in Onitsha about 2 years ago when I was teaching in a seminar in Onitsha. It's the first time I heard anybody say it, that I said it yesterday when I heard him play this past week. But I said this almost 2 years ago. I said that what does salt need to have its effect? And the answer, of course, everybody agreed was nothing. Just be there. That the only thing that salt needs to have its effect anywhere is just to be present. And I found out that your very presence in a place, you have not preached, you have not talked, you have not prayed, you are just there, it has effect. In fact, David Paulson said something that was striking. He calculated it. He said if there is 5% of dedicated Christians in any population, moral decadence cannot spread. He gave facts and figures that it was when the number of MP, committed Christians amongst the MPs in UK dropped below 5% that they were able to pass the abortion law. 5% is not a voting block. They're not big enough. He said, but their presence, one way or the other, just ensures that some things can't spread. There's a story he told I wanted to repeat. He said once a young woman came to him and said that, I've been working in a particular company. I'm the only Christian there. And it's been difficult. And now I'm about to leave. And he said, why? He said, because I just got a job in a company that's a Christian company. And now I'll have ease. Let me go there. So I won't be under pressure working amongst unbelievers. He said, the lady noticed there was a look in his face. And she said, what's the problem? He said, two things. One, you will soon discover that working amongst Christians alone is not exactly heaven. But that's not our gist. The second one is that now you're about to deny that company the only salt that they have. We know it's been difficult. We know it's not been easy. We know there's a lot of corruption. He said, the only chance they have, the only Christ they ever contact on a daily basis is about to walk out on them. He said, a preacher mentioned somewhere once, a man who came with his resignation letter, intending to leave where he was working the next day, tore it up. He said, I'm not saying it is easy. I'm just saying that your presence is the only way Christ, it's not about preaching. It's not about praying. It's just that we'll go there, it's government service, it's Nigeria police, it's Nigeria customs, you understand? It's a secondary school, it's a university, it's somewhere, it's a teaching hospital, it's anywhere. But just I go there every day that I come back. As long as I remain what God said I should be, my very presence is having effect in that place. I heard a man teach that in the way I didn't even realize before, even though I made that statement almost 2 years ago when I was teaching on Nature. Please bear it in mind. That is why Nigeria is not going to change just because it's tired of being bad. It's going to change because you and I compel that change. And that's what I want to teach in this season. Spreading the kingdom of God. You will see, there are two ways to do it. There is a passive way, and there is the active way, both of which we must do. The passive way, interestingly enough, for those who don't understand what I'm saying, the passive one is like what I described. You are not preaching, you are not praying, you are not evangelizing, you are just there. And your presence is creating effect. The active way is the one in which you talk. You show people things. Don't do this. Do that. Hear ye the word of the Lord. That's the active way. But this is the interesting part. The passive way is more difficult for people to accomplish than the active one. It's easy to preach. It's more difficult to be a Christian. It's easy to say the soul that sinned shall die. It's more difficult for you to be paid 25,000 naira a month in today's Nigeria, you work in government service, and you have to be moving files in which contractors are being paid for one job, 10 million, and not hold the file back until somebody gives you something, and you have the power. That's more difficult. It's more difficult to just move the file and keep your eyes away. It's more difficult for a man to drop an envelope for you, look at it and say, no, sir, this one is my job. You can have your envelope. That is the one that is difficult. To go there and go and say, listen, let's have lunch hour fellowship. That one is easy. Armed robbers come to church. It's very easy. Most of these corrupt politicians, they pay tithes. They do offerings. They service their prophet. That's one terminology I heard recently. They service their prophet. What is difficult is that passive one in which the salt makes sure it does not lose its savor. To retain the savor of that salt is what that's the juice. That is the work. For you to continue to go regularly to work at 8 o'clock, work properly till 4 or 5 when you're supposed to close. You work for one of these state governments in recent months in Nigeria that don't pay salaries, and it's 2 months they haven't paid you. Yet you go, you don't grumble. You don't transfer the aggression to the customers you're supposed to serve. You know that kind of thing. They say, good morning. So I say, what is good about the man? What are you looking for? The man looks and knows you have not been paid. I told a story. It happened to me once when I was in Luz. They were expecting some money from the institution. I went to collect my coats. They used to, at laundry department, they used to collect, wash our coats for us, you know. They come out very nice. When you start working, they issue the stuff to you. So I dropped two of them to be cleaned. I had not gone for a while. So I went there, please, this is my coat number. Can I have my coat? The man gave me one. I said, there are two of them, sir. This is the second one. He looked at me. I should take that one and go. I said, excuse me, sir. I submitted two coats. Please, just look for the second one. He said, I should just take that one and go. I made a mistake. I said, sir, what problem will it be for you to just look at the rack? They are near each other. He said, it's a problem. It's a problem. I said, sorry, sir. I got my single coat. I went to my office. Because just before I attended to me, somebody just gave him the news that that money was not paid and his face had changed. Just to complete the story, one day, the man didn't even know what he was doing. I sat in my office. Somebody knocked. It was that man. He said, he doesn't know me, please. He just wants to beg me. He doesn't have any money. If I just have anything to just give him. I looked at his face. I felt like, okay, it's a problem for me. But I didn't. The little I had, I shared with him. To let you know that he didn't even know what he was doing. He didn't know. What am I going to explain? That is where the problem is. To be able to go to work on such a day and look at the man that's coming to for attention, and you say to him, it is well with you. God bless you. What can I do for you? And I put that smile on your face. My brother, my sister, that is where the work is. To hand out a tract is cheap. You didn't pay for it. It was given out to you free of charge. But to be a message that people can read without you talking, that is where the action is. That is where the action is. And that's why I said, spreading the kingdom, there are two sides. There is the passive side and there is the active side. Active one is very common in our country. You go to motor parks before the bus moves. A man of God comes to pray. And he collects his offering to so that he can support his praying in the park ministry. People will park vehicles where I used to live before, right in front of my house, put a horn speaker on top. At 4:30 a.m., 5 a.m., praise the Lord. I want to tell you that the soul that sin it shall die. And I feel like telling the man, if I deal with you, you shall die. Because you are at in front of my house at 4:30 a.m. Don't they sleep where you came from? That one is very easy. I feel bad about this. One day I prayed and God spoiled somebody's speaker. I'm not kidding. Where I live currently. Because then I used to sleep very late. And they'll be facing my window. And when they start around 5 in the morning, like that's the end of sleep for me. So one day I slept very late. I walked late into the night and I slept. I'd hardly slept for more than maybe an hour or two when I heard, kru, 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 kru. The speaker was coming on. I woke up and I was grieved.
And I said, Lord, please shut them up. The speaker came on. Somebody said something. Then I heard kroop, 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 boop. And I didn't hear the speaker again. I feel bad, but I had to do it for the advancement of the kingdom in my house. What am I going to say? Those ones are easy. You can be an adulterer, fornicator, a thief, everything. You just hold the microphone and read out the script. The one that is hard is that passive one, in which I just go to work. I don't open my mouth. I don't say anything. Yet my presence is affecting things. Not because I'm even praying, but just because I am the salt of the earth. Let me just read that scripture I said I wanted to read, so that with it, it won't be as if I didn't read it. You understand? Like I said, this is one that I used to prove to Christians that God doesn't do anything without using us. The book of Revelation chapter 17. Now, he was speaking about the beast, and he was speaking about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's start from verse 8, even though as is my usual character, so as to save time, we'll jump here and there so as to get to where exactly where what the point we want to make out from here. It's just that we like to get it in context. So the beast which you saw was and is not and is about to come up out of the abyss and then go to destruction. He said in verse 9, the seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. I'm jumping. And there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and none of that. He now said in verse 11, the beast which was and is not, is himself also an eighth. And one of the seven, and he goes to destruction. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have not yet received the kingdom, but they receive authority as kings with the beast for 1 hour. These have one purpose. Please notice this. These kings are people that are kings on the earth. He said they have one purpose. And what is that purpose? They give their power and authority to the beast. He said this will wage war against the lamb. That is, that beast is going to use their power and their authority to achieve his purpose of waging war against the lamb. And the lamb will overcome them. Why? Because he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And those who are with him are the called and chosen and faithful. I'm reading from here so as to help us see how God does things. There is a battle going on in this particular passage. There is a beast, and he has the authority of 10 kings. He has their power and their authority. Then there is the Lord, who also has the power and authority of certain people. And he called those people kings and lords. Now, I want you to understand this. What was he saying? That if the beast will fight using the power and the authority of 10 kings, the Lord is also going to fight using the power and the authority of his own kings and his own lords. Who are the kings? Who are the lords? He said they are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. That is, the Lord having victory over satanic machinations and plans of the earth is predicated upon the faithfulness of his saints. He's not just going to win just because he's the Lord or he's the King. It's because he's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And those people must be with him, just like the 10 kings are with the beast. Who are those people? They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. Now, you must understand, there are not three groups of people. It's just one group. To be in that army, many were called, then few were chosen. To be in that army amongst the chosen, few were faithful. It is only those who were called, chosen, and remained faithful that qualify for the army. And it is because of them that the Lord wins his battles. Are you getting my point?
The question is this. If it was left to you, will Jesus win or the beast will win? It's a question you should ask yourself. I always like to use Demas as my good example. Paul said, Demas has departed from me, having fallen in love with this present age. He said, he loved this world so much, some translations say, and he ran to what? Thessalonica. Many times, listen. Being in God's army, all right, involves two things. Well, not two things. Now, I want to bring out something here. Being the center of your calling, yes. It's not just about the calling itself. Many times, it's also about the geography of the calling. God called you to preach. It's not everywhere in the world you can preach from. What am I going to say? You know, last time I said something, which is actually I wanted to begin today, but the Lord wanted me to explain that thing about the law of Moses and all of that. You have to ask yourself, what am I living for? Why am I where I am? What's my purpose? What am I trying to achieve? How is my life structured for the advancement of the kingdom of God? There are two ways. One is passive. The other one is active. And both of them we will discuss. I hope you are blessed today. If you are blessed, give me an amen, please.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and quickly give the Lord thanks. Say, Lord, thank you. Your word is good. In the name of Jesus Christ. I feel like we should declare this again. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of his will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a consequence of this. I live here. Walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I will please him in all respects. I will bear fruit in every good work. And I will always increase in the knowledge of God. Say, in my family life, I am bearing fruit in every good work. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. In my career, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I'm walking in a manner worthy of his kingdom. And I'm bearing fruit in every good work. In my ministry, I am effective. I am bearing fruit. I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. In all that I do,
I prosper.
Now, I want you to understand, the word, once it's entering into you, it works itself out of you. How do I say it? Listen, just by paying attention to the word of God, you are getting healed.
Amen.
It is not only when they lay hands on you that you get healed. Just as the word is entering into you, you are getting healed.
Amen.
The word works in you. Say after me, say, in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Life is working in me.
The
word of God is working in me.
It's
making me full of life.
Removing all my sicknesses.
Removing all my confusion.
Giving me a perfect wholeness.
Causing me to prosper. Now listen to this. This week, doors that were closed before will open for you in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The Bible says the yoke will be broken because of fatness. Some King James will say the anointing, but actually it means fatness. That is, as the knowledge of God comes into you, you grow fat, you are no longer in bondage. You used to wake up and then you panic for no reason. It has ended in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That spirit of fear has left your home in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Before you travel, you start pleading the blood on the road. Listen, don't waste the blood. Many of those pleading is fear. Just declare the word of God. Say, it's with me in my going out and my coming in. I declare to you that safety is your portion because of that in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
That fear is terrible. It has torment. And it creates itself in physical reality. Therefore, you fight fear. But your fear is gone in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Confidence is your portion in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I say it again, no evil will befall you.
Amen.
And no plague will come near your dwelling place.
Amen.
If you're inside a car, God will protect all the occupants because of you.
Amen.
No evil will befall that car.
Amen.
And no plague will come near it.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God will shine his light into your home.
Amen.
Everyone who lives with you will see the truth of the gospel of Christ.
Amen.
And they will come to believe. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Get ready. Something good is about to happen to you this coming week.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Come on, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we are passed out of death
and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light.